The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again. I'm really excited to have y'all back, but I'm even more excited about our guest today. She is the co-owner of Sky Ox Homes, Miss Lauren Meadows. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Cody.
No, absolutely. Thank you for joining us. We're incredibly honored to have you. I know you guys are incredibly busy, so very much appreciate you making the time for us and connecting and sharing with our audience. For those that are maybe seeing your name, hearing your voice for the first time, would love to understand a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you guys are in now.
Yeah, so I am Lauren Meadows, and I live in the most southern point of Ohio with my husband, Flint Meadows, and our two kids, Knox, who's 5, and our little girl, Skylar, who is will be 4 next month. We started investing in real estate in 2017 whenever we found out we were pregnant with Skylar, our second one, and we had Knox, who was just 9 months old. We purchased our first flip house for $2,500. And that's when we started our company, Sky Ox Homes. We focus primarily on value add real estate. Typically small multifamily is what we've focused on up until this point, and flip properties.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, I always love to say it. I love having guests on and learning about their background because everyone brings kind of that unique, different background. And I know y'all do as well. So that's awesome to hear. Lauren, with as much success as y'all have had, and I know looking at your different social presences and things like that, y'all do a lot of good things. I would imagine, though, it hasn't always been incredibly easy or at least smooth along the way, and would love for you to maybe explore some of those things that y'all have been either challenged with or maybe even failed on in your career in real estate thus far.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of learning curves, to say the least. We have 15 doors so far, and we've done all of those using the BRRRR strategy. And then we flipped 5 houses as well up till this point. So we've definitely made some mistakes along the way. Our most recent and maybe one of the most painful things that we've learned is we purchased a single family house and a fourplex on the same different lots, but right next to each other. And we ended up going $70,000 over budget.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it was a bit painful. So we kind of knew what was happening because I did the underwriting initially, and I did it always try to be fairly conservative. But we went $70,000 over the budget on the renovation. This was because in 2021, 2020, we all know material costs increased dramatically. So we had that going against us. We also had the project took longer. One thing, if you do a lot of renovations, you'll find that projects always take longer than what you anticipate, which costs money. And then we also did not do our research on the local municipality on exactly what their code enforcement regulations are. So there were a lot of things that we did not anticipate having to do that we had to from a construction standpoint, which was also costly.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can completely understand where you're coming from. I don't think anybody saw what was going to happen over the last year or so. Looking back, it sounds like there were a couple different things that kind of snowballed on you guys for some of that may or dominoed, if you will. I don't know if the construction cost and the seeing those elevate in the way that we did over the past year were probably foreseeable for anybody doing that underwriting. I know a lot of people were struggling with things like that, whether you're in single family or multifamily. But talk to me about some of the things that you learned on doing the research ahead of time and where that kind of bit y'all going through that process. Because I know we've heard from some others that really understanding the lay of the land, the codes, how they're different in different areas, maybe even town to town, definitely city to city. But talk to me a little bit about kind of the trouble y'all ran into there and what y'all took away from that experience.
You're definitely right, Cody, that every municipality is different. Each of them has different rules in regards to their utilities and regards to their code enforcement. you know, we had the electrical, which in the municipality we typically invest in, it's a very seamless process, right? So they do want to make sure that you keep people safe, but it doesn't require certain electricians that are licensed within the city. And that is how this city that we purchased these five units in, that's how they operated. So they required that you use their city electricians, which was, you know, gave a premium on their prices because there was only so many of them that did the electrical work and were licensed throughout the city. So that's something that we definitely should have called and checked on prior to. You know, a big thing is whenever you are doing a renovation, you want to have a thorough scope of work. And whenever you have multiple units like that, especially when they're all a little bit different. So this there was a house, which that renovation is going to be different than one of the units in the fourplex, right? And each of those units were a little bit different, other than the two top ones. They were the same layout, but the rest of them were a little bit different. So each called for a different amount on that renovation budget. So it's easy to not plan accordingly or for that budget to exceed itself quickly. So we definitely experienced those things within this project. And what we typically aim to do is to come 80% of the after rehab value, the ARV. That way we can pull out all of our cash investment and then we can have no money in the deal. And that's what we've done in the first 10 rental properties that we've acquired. We've used creative financing and we've been able to have zero money down at the end of the day. But in this case, we were $70,000 over our initial budget. I had actually underwritten it with $20,000 cushion in that. But since we went 70 over, we actually ended up keeping $50,000 of our own capital in the deal that we otherwise hadn't really planned on doing.
Sure. Well, and I do want to circle back too as well, because you mentioned it, and I want to call it out for those that are maybe new or relatively new to this type of strategy. When you're doing the construction, you mentioned things always happen. Things will always take a little bit longer than expected. And I would imagine, especially with COVID and the delays on different types of equipment and parts and things like that, that it created an exponential amount of time that you were probably delayed on certain things. But in a quote, normal kind of workflow, how do you try to mitigate or build in an understanding that you're going to run into things when you're tearing things down and rebuilding them from the inside out or from the ground up? What is it that goes into that when y'all are looking at different properties to help mitigate those types of risk and the amount of downtime you could potentially have in a kind of a normal circumstance?
Right. Well, I think that if you're planning on GCing your own construction projects, you need to be understanding how those projects flow, right? So you're going to do your demo first, right? And then next, you're going to do your rough in electrical, rough in plumbing. You're going to do whatever type of permitting or inspections that city or that municipality requires. You're obviously not going to want to put your sheetrock in until after they come and do their inspection, or you're just going to have to take it down again, right? So you're going to want to know what those processes are and just the overall construction process. So you may want to go shadow a general contractor or a builder just to have a better understanding of what is the best way to streamline your construction process.
Yeah, and I'll throw out there, because I'm not very good with hammer and nails, and you know, I'll own that, that if you can't, I would imagine, and Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've heard before, find a partner that's better at that, that does understand that process, because it can be a very expensive learning curve in the construction piece, that if you're trying to GC your own deal with little to no experience, that there could be things that pop up that would be much better in with bringing in a partner that truly understands that versus you trying to take it as your first and type of project.
Oh, absolutely. You know, definitely find somebody or a partner that is able to, you know, help you out where you're not good at on the things that you lack in. So luckily my husband, he's actually an iron worker and he did that for 10 years. So he had some construction background in that regard. And, but still that wasn't carpentry work and doing more like of the home and the residential side, that was more commercial type of things. And so whenever we bought that first flip in 2017, he basically manned that whole project. And we would go there and he would do primarily the work and on the evenings and weekends. And it was a long process, but he got to learn a lot on the way. And I'm not saying that's the right or wrong way to get started, but certainly I think that's a lot of where we can attribute where we learned that construction process.
Sure. Well, and if you can, if you have some of that background and not afraid to get your hands dirty, for lack of a better term, that can be a great process. Just understand that, you know, in some cases, I would imagine it may take a little bit longer, or you may not be able to recoup your money on the project as fast because you're also teaching yourself and learning in those experiences. So,
right. And that's one thing we learned with that first deal. It took 11 months, right? And the next flip that we did, it took 4 months from close to close. So we learned that subbing those things out or having a small crew is definitely more efficient than doing all the work yourself.
Yes. I mean, being able to pay somebody, well, while it does eat into potentially some of your profits, the time value of money gets exponentially better if you can do that project and recoup that money faster.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one thing that we always look at whenever we're pricing things out or whenever we're going to sell a flip house is, okay, we want to strategically price this so it's going to go under contract quick. So, and move it quick, right? So that's the name of the game, especially sure. with your flip.
Well, I'm interested with everything that y'all went through, and it sounds like y'all ran into a bunch of challenges, but we're able to come out of them. But the challenges you ran into is during the COVID year and beyond, with the things that y'all run into with the municipalities, the delays and things like that. Looking forward, how does that play into what you guys are doing now? And if any, and what are you looking at to maybe change in your workflow to help mitigate those types of challenges you had in the past?
Well, one thing in the market that we invest in here locally, Southern Ohio, Northeastern Kentucky, those markets, the small multifamily deals are not as difficult to come by, and you can purchase them for typically a good price, but their ARV is much lower than what a single family house is. And the renovation is typically about the same, the renovation costs, right? So one of these small multifamily deals will probably only appraise for about $65 to $70 per square foot in this market. And because it goes off of comparable properties. So I could have a phenomenal net operating income on this small multifamily and make a ton of money off of it every month. But it goes off of the comparables versus what I'm able to create with the income on the property. Aside from learning the things on the municipality and just underwriting with the construction cost and having the scope of work and the plan, the construction plan streamlined, I think that our mindset moving forward is going to be focused on more medium-sized multifamily properties, something that is more reflective, the value is more reflective off of the net operating income rather than just off of comparable properties.
You know, it's interesting you say that. We talked to some others about that did get their kind of their cutting their teeth on some single family stuff, some small like duplexes, triplex type things. And then what we heard from them was the thing that they wish they would have done faster was get into that next kind of tier of more doors faster, because a lot of times it can be similar amounts of work or the time spent in going through the process is sometimes very similar, but the payoff is much better. Is that what you guys are kind of finding in your research and why y'all are leaning towards that in the future?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that one thing that has drawn me to real estate and to begin with is the control over the asset, right? Like if you go invest money in the stock market, you don't have control over your investment. With real estate, you do have more control over that. And it's a business too. Don't get me wrong. With the you can't control what comparables are going off of, but you can have some sort of control off of what your net operating income is with, you know, your rent, your expenses, and trying to just run a tight ship.
Man, I love that. And I think that's a great example of why people like yourself, especially, are looking at the different categories and likely looking to move up, because you can control that. And it's not so indicative on what's going on around you. It's how good are you at running your own business? Lauren, I can't thank you enough for coming on board. I think that's probably as good enough a spot as ever to kind of wrap up for today. We truly appreciate you bringing your experience and being humble enough to kind of come on and talk about some of the challenges y'all have faced. Would love to make sure for those that want to connect with you, learn more about what y'all are doing, maybe even replicate some of that in their area. Where's the best place for folks to find you guys at?
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram at Scouts Homes, or you can follow me at Instagram at lauren.by.sell.invest. And you can also find us on Facebook at Scouts Homes.
Perfect. And for those interested, we'll drop all those links in the show notes to make it super easy for you to find Lauren and her husband. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cody, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening, and we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.